Hello and welcome to Liberty Southwest podcast number 22. This week we'll be discussing the internet and sharing economy, which will include topics such as Airbnb, B-Cycle, Lyft, Uber, and net neutrality. Today I am joined by Eric Kaler and Kirk Pettis, and I am Matt Winter.
How's it going, everyone?
Best day of my life.
Oh, it's going all right.
It's going all right. So should we start off with
excitement
net neutrality?
And yeah, let's do that.
And kind of filter through. So, Kirk, do you want to kind of frame up net neutrality and, you know, how it applies to the Liberty conversation?
Well, to me, the Liberty conversation is the principle of net neutrality. Mm-hmm. And that is what the internet was created for. I mean, the internet was created for, you know, this vast source of knowledge at hand that ties in the world together. And just Jason Silva put it as it's like telepathy, you know, that at our fingertips to one another. So it's a new form of technology that makes us telepathic in a sense where we can hold devices to our ears or watch with our eyes and have all this vast communication and knowledge at our fingertips that surpasses everything. And the premise of it all has to be neutral. I mean, it's once it becomes controlled, it's what is it? It's a controlled economy. It's a controlled faction of our life that's going to be hindered by regulations and corporations that don't want to have their opponents' input installed, and it's into the conversation. And it's so the principle of net neutrality is definitely key. And I'm just against any government involvement behind it. And I think that's what the liberty aspect is, you know, should be.
Gotcha. I think this is a good. I have a New York Times clip that kind of goes over what net neutrality is, so that, you know, we're all on kind of the same page. We can kind of discuss the pros and cons, maybe why net neutrality is being challenged. You know, some of the logic behind that, and why, you know, individuals who want to keep it free and open want to retain net neutrality. So here we go with this clip.
Net neutrality. Its future is up for debate, and many say its demise could change your experience online. Here's how.
I have no patience for useless things.
When you download from the internet, it arrives in packets of data. Think of the packets as literal packages. Let's say you want to watch a Netflix movie, which is 10 packages big. You order, Netflix ships, but first it has to go through a sorting facility. In this analogy, that's an internet service provider like Verizon or Comcast. Now, what net neutrality means is that all packages must be delivered at the same rate. If the law changes, a company like Netflix could pay extra to get on the first truck. If a company doesn't pay, they might be shut out of that first truck. They'll get delivered eventually. But if that climactic movie scene arrives late, you know what that means. And it's more than just movies. Media columnist David Carr with more.
Who gets to go fast and who gets to go slow? If my message comes to you really slowly, another person's message comes quickly and directly, who's going to be heard? That has implications for democracy, for commerce.
In the ongoing debate, the forces of Silicon Valley are on one side, with over 100 companies, including Google and Facebook, in support of net neutrality. On the other side are cable companies with powerful lobbying efforts in Washington.
It's time to get the job finished.
The figure to watch at the Federal Communications Commission is Chairman Tom Wheeler. He was a big Obama fundraiser, but also is a former lobbyist for the cable industry. Mr. Wheeler has vowed to forge ahead with introducing a new set of rules.
I believe that this process will put us on track to quickly get to legally enforceable open internet
rules.
Silicon Valley's stance is clear. The cable company's position is also clear. But what about users? Net neutrality is usually a subject that elicits more glazed eyes than passion, but that could change.
Net neutrality is a super wonky thing. Nobody wants to look behind their computer or look behind their television and see what's really going on. But where people get interested, where they get actualized, is when that stuff stops working. Then they want to know who made this happen.
I'm sorry, this clip bugs me really big.
Does it? Why is that?
First of all, where's the law of net neutrality right now?
What's that?
Where's the law that currently exists of net neutrality? There's
there is
no law.
Neutrality has a concept. Basically, what it means is that there should be no regulation over how companies manage their network services. So as it stands now, there is no law regulating how it operates. So you have, what this clip referenced, you have, as it stands now, you have Tom Wheeler, who's the chairman of the FCC, happens to be an ex-former cable lobbyist, a big Obama bundler. You know, was appointed to the position. He's working, you presume on the side of allowing uniform regulation to be put into place over how various forms of network connectivity into the internet are managed. So, you know, some of those things are you should be able to, maybe prioritize different data based on usage. So, you know, there's been flare-ups between Netflix and Verizon and Time Warner and that type of thing. They've actually rate-shaped the traffic. And there should be, packets. Some packets are more valuable than others and there should be a uniform ability for certain types of data to have higher priority. And some of those things are vital services. So, 911 emergency services, telemedicine, that type of thing, that might be, if you have any degradation of performance could, potentially be harmful if you don't have those services. And I think the argument on the pro net neutrality side, which is the way the internet is operated, is, there's enough for the, especially at the tier one ISP level or backbone provider level, bandwidth is getting cheaper and cheaper and more abundant. And there is really no reason why services should degrade. And when there has been degradation of quality, like if you look at Netflix, it's been artificial, it's been anti-competitive, in the context of, when Comcast customers have had poor Netflix service or Verizon customers because they're trying to protect their services, and that's the argument is that should be illegal to do that. So that's kind of the, there's been those two sides because, like you said, Kirk, one of the most redeeming features of the internet is that it's been open and voluntary up to this point. Now, there's a caveat there. The internet wasn't developed by a bunch of liberty loving voluntary individuals. It was a DARPA project developed by the Department of Defense as a way to provide resilient network services in the case of nuclear catastrophe in the 1960s. So this is very much the internet that we enjoy today is very much a technology developed by the government.
Yeah, but it's really been harnessed by the free market.
Right, and it has been. But the
why the technology the foundation, has been
the foundation exponentially growing. Is based in government research.
Yeah, but who cares?
Okay. We've
talked about that before, and I don't see. I mean, but they had the concept. They developed the concept, but the free market really took it over.
Right.
And so it's really at the free market's hands now, to a sense. I mean, like I brought up before, it's kind of a controlled. Our providers are very controlled to the areas we live in. It's not a free market for the vast amount of competition to join the market in your locale that you live in. But
well, it was for a while.
The reason for that, though, is it's artificially enforced through the setbacks on private property. So bringing in a new provider has to be authorized by local government, and local government doesn't have the inclination or the desire to provide that access, because as I personally know from my run in city council, I got money from the owner of the cable company for my campaign. And I didn't realize what was happening at that point in time, but essentially the owner invites all the local politicians over to his house all the time for big, big parties. So that's
But in the future, we're looking at it myopically here in the current state. It's in the future. I don't even think we're going to need the hard wires in most traveling directly to your house or building.
Whether or not the technology is available and it's legal are two separate things. So,
yeah, I just hate to pinpoint at certain occurrences today to gain government control that's going to affect everything in the future when the technology in the future makes the problems irrelevant of today.
Well, here's another question for you, though, Kurt.
For the future,
you know, it's already being regulated in that exact same way. I mean, like I just said, it's being regulated. Doesn't that bother you? Like,
what kind of regulation are you talking about?
It's anti-competitive right now.
Yeah, and there.
In how I was talking about, or in
no, in the way I just said, it's you only have one carrier that's available.
Yes.
A couple.
But two. It's...
Yeah, there's two. So, I mean, you could do DSL, but there's, you know...
And that was... And there was a time when... And that was fantastic for quality, for internet quality, where DSL was... You know, there's a FCC decision in the late 90s, mid-90s, that basically said that all ILECs, or incumbent local exchange carriers, or local telephone companies, regional telephone companies, had to allow access to their networks. And you saw a lot of small boutique ISPs pop up where you could, you know, you have to pay, you know, your local carrier. So, you know, in our case, CenturyLink or Qwest or US West, you know, for the physical line. But you could choose to have, you know, whatever ISP you wanted, and they in turn, you know, paid CenturyLink to utilize their network, and you could use, you know, there was a time in the Twin Cities there were dozens of ISPs that you could use, and there were some really good ones. You didn't have to go through CenturyLink. They had really good, you know, network engineering, customer service, you know, feedback was much better than you could get from the local telephone company. But unfortunately, the pendulum swung the other way, and that deregulation was blocked by the FCC in the mid 2000s. It was 2003 or so, and it completely went away. So basically,
away, or did they get bought out?
No, it went away because the telephone carrier networks, because it was ruled it was their property. So there was a you know, period of time where that was there, and I think in the like Matt was speaking to, that's first of all very costly to lay cable, you know, or fiber. And these cable and telephone companies, they just push a lot of money through the public utility commissions, as well as, you know, city councils. And, you know, you have companies like Google, doing their fiber stuff, and even cities who are like, screw this, I'm going to push out municipal fiber, which is, you know, fiber is pretty much, you know, that's, it is now, and it will be for a long time, the best form of network connectivity, because you don't have to worry about radio spectrum issues, you know, line of sight issues. You just shoot, you know, lasers through a cable, and you have it'll be good for a very long time, the best solution for a very long time. But you have, you know,
well, I think part that's worth mentioning is, those fiber optic networks, mm-hmm. they're imminently upgradable. Like, you can, sure. as the technology's increased, as far as the speed of the lasers being able to turn off and on
or
faster.
How many wavelengths you can put
receivers,
through or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then running different wavelengths over the same piece of fiber, it's like the bandwidth just continues to increase on these, and it's cheaper and cheaper to increase that bandwidth.
Yeah. And there have been cities, you know, Monticello actually was successful. They have their own municipal fiber network. But there, more times than not, when cities just try to do that, cable companies and telephone companies just lobby the hell out of it and throws
tons Doesn't of Chaska money. Have one?
Well, they have a wireless. They have a wireless network, and then Carver County has a public fiber ring running through, so public institutions can connect up to it. It was like a $7 million initiative. In Chaska, it's kind of older Wi-Fi now. But
the ChaskaNet thing, that's garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, St. Louis Park did that as well, and that kind of dried up. But the real good stuff is the fiber, and that's where the it doesn't seem like you can get. It'll be interesting to see how well, because Google wants to push fiber into 30 cities in the next couple of years. And if they can, you know, start getting that going, there's a, you know, that could really change, maybe hopefully some of the behavior specifically around Comcast, you know, and Time Warner, and to a lesser extent AT&T and CenturyLink and the others.
Right.
So yeah, it's almost like a racket right now. You have it's like a duopoly, and the service sucks. And, at the local level and performance kind of lags. But that doesn't have too much to do with net neutrality, but I mean, it has to do, I guess, with how, you know, everything performs, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the, recent South Park Cable Company episode.
What was the gist of it?
Do you want to do a clip of it? It's only a minute.
Sure.
57 seconds.
Send it over to me.
Yeah, here. You'll be able to hear it. It's fairly funny. It'll probably have a commercial before it starts, but
I'll mute it.
So essentially, it's a
No, just ID Network, A&E, Oxygen, and Oprah's network. All the ones with murder porn.
You don't like paying for all the channels? Oh, our company actually packages channels together.
Well, can you unpackage them so we only get the channels we want?
Oh, I'm sorry. Our company doesn't work that way. You want me to give you the number of a different cable company that can... Oh, wait, we're it, aren't we? Dang it. Guess you have to deal with our packages. Hey, David. Hi, is there a problem here?
We want specific networks dropped from our cable.
Oh, you have to pay for the bundle. You can't just pay for what you want to watch. Darn it.
You mean that we're forced to pay for the Oprah channel?
I guess if you don't want to be forced to pay for Oprah, you'd have to shut off your cable altogether. Hey, Mitch, when can you get out to shut off some cable boxes? Oh, man, it's going to be like 3 weeks. There's a whole plug I have to pull out. It's like 4 inches long. 3 weeks, huh? Okay, is 3 weeks from now okay with you guys?
No, that's way too long.
Oh, it is? Oh, jeez, that's terrible. Say that last part again.
What?
What was the last part you said?
I said it's not our responsibility to give them what they want.
No, the part about your parents not getting the channels easily?
I said it would really bum them out.
How much would it bum them out?
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by for an important message from the president of your local cable company. Customers still wishing to view True Crime Networks will now need to purchase a separate package, which will require a technician to service your cable box every night from 2 to 3 a.m. and must include the purchase of 300 channels in Portuguese. We realize this may be an inconvenience to you, and we hope you will voice all your concerns to us. Because at your local cable company, the customer is always our bitch.
That's fantastic.
One of my all-time favorite TV shows right there.
It is true. I had, man, over the last month, I probably spent in excess of 4 hours on the phone with Comcast support, and I got nothing tangible from it. I was like, I don't know. Did either one of you hear the? And it's probably too long to include on here, but the clip that went viral. A guy recorded his call into Comcast
trying to cancel it.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let him cancel. Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, I actually heard the story behind it. Comcast pays them to retain customers, so they use techniques that like are totally unsavory because they're motivated to make people hang up instead of cancel. You know, so they'll be extremely rude sometimes. You know, they're not supposed to, quote unquote, but that's what they do.
Yeah, that's how they're trained. And I read an article where the CEO of Comcast said, you know, the employee's not going to be reprimanded, and that's how he was trained. And, you know, unfortunately, this was an outlier. Didn't work out too well, but, you know, there's not going to be any discipline for the employees. So,
yep.
You know, then, you know, I suppose, I mean, there's nothing against the law about doing that, right? So you can practice what works, but it's just horrid. Like, you just get, you know, with these large cable companies and telephone companies, you just get horrendous service, and there's no incentive for them to change.
So yeah, seeing people like Google come into the cities is just going to be an awesome thing.
And then like Kirk was talking about, there's going to be future technologies that, you know, as far as taking care, you know, when looking at, you know, local access, it'll be interesting to see, and we've heard about this, at meetings in the past, you know, mesh networking, that type of thing, where, you know, maybe you can get a nice, decent fiber connection out to a neighborhood, and you set up a mesh node network around it, you have, pervasive, cheap, fast access that's, you know, you're not at the whim of CenturyLink or Comcast, but so Kirk, you've gotten quiet. Or you're on mute.
So
do we lose Kirk?
Maybe.
Haven't heard.
He fell asleep. We were boring him with our tech talk.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning that you calling and talking to Comcast, you're a senior network technician, right?
Yeah, senior network engineer, yep.
Yeah, so...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, no wonder why I kept talking. You guys just kept going. I'm like, geez, I'm very irrelevant right now.
I was like, why is this guy so quiet?
Oh, man, yeah, I would... Okay, never mind. Now it all makes sense. But, wow.
What's that?
That's hilarious. So, but to go back to that first clip, the FCC can't sit there and pass laws. They're just a regulatory group that are appointed. They're not elected. And so any regulations they pass are going to be defeated in court because they can't just create regulations. So Tom Wheeler will end up having to lobby Congress. Mm-hmm. But that was one point from earlier. But and then And why that clip was so funny earlier, too, was how they said, oh, it's not a problem until your service is slow. But the other thing is, we were just talking about Comcast and everything, and we all still pay for it because it's a quality, it's still a quality service. I mean, just look 5-10 years ago how piss poor it was and how much better it is today. And yeah, the technology, once the supplies of the bandwidth and the package delivery rates are increased, you know, the technology enhances and it's kind of meets a new threshold, which slows everything else down too. I mean, if we use the same technology that was when we had slow internet a decade ago, today it would be unbelievable fast. But so everything grows together. So there's always going to be that kind of limit of where you're going to feel like it's slow. But I just don't see government intervention as any solution, regardless of anything right here. That, you know, to pass a lot of mandate that it's neutral, who's gonna sit there and judge if it's neutral or not? I mean,
that's actually something that can be directly quantified.
And that's actually not what they're trying to do. As it stands now, net neutrality is in place. That's it. There's no law that, you know, declares. You know,
yeah.
That,
so what's the problem?
So what's happening is you have cable.
Netflix got slowed down. Throw on the Lone Wolf. I'll go on a tangent on a conspiracy about that. I think it's like a total contrived fabrication of this. They purposely did it just to create this. I mean, what? Just saw that article or that clip that you played earlier about the slowdown. Once you feel it, then you're mad. Sure. Freaking Netflix is the biggest hog, one of the biggest hogs on the internet. It's the cheapest thing. You're utilizing all this massive amount of movies and TV shows and everything that everyone sits there and watches at home for pennies. And then they sit there and bitch and complain if it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's Netflix is draining the resources of all these local ISPs that are.
Here, Kirk, not really. I understand what you're saying, but what we have been talking about, Eric and I, is that the technology is getting cheaper to run, and they're finding ways to monetize it beyond that point. So yeah, despite the fact that it's very bandwidth intensive, bandwidth is getting way cheaper.
Yeah, it's always getting cheaper, and when you talk about Netflix, they have a technology called Open Connect, which is a caching technology where they're happy to place servers that are essentially cache proxy servers on the within ISP networks. So whenever data traverses the server, it's retained on the server. So subsequent requests for the same files actually hit that server that's on the ISP network rather than going all the way to Netflix. And this is very common.
Yeah.
And Comcast refused to do that. So all that Netflix asks is for, you know, rack space essentially in a data center to reduce the strain on the network. And they do this with, you know, from mom and pop ISPs up to the biggest ISPs. And the behavior on the, specifically when talking about Comcast, is just blatantly anti-competitive. And it was, you know, pretty obvious. And what ended up happening is they still got Netflix to pay them money to essentially pay them money for peering or, you know, transit, you know, under their network. So what was going on there, Netflix, you know, even though, you know, you can say they're, you know, maybe argue that they're, you know, cheap service that exploits, you know, the internet in general and available bandwidth. In reality, they try to be as good of actors as they can.
It's a great business.
Yeah,
but this whole mentality of how everything should be free and it just boggles my mind that the cost that I've heard about it is that the cost that it implies to a lot of these ISPs, Netflix is one of the biggest costs of their
things.
No,
it isn't, though. It isn't. They like I said, they once you can if you allow Netflix to colo a caching server, you know, Akamai or Open Connect, at the ISP that, you know, over over time, the amount of bandwidth that's actually required for Netflix goes down substantially. Now, it's still very high on, you know, on the public internet. I think it's over, you know, during peak hours, it's over 50% of, you know, total data transmitted across the internet is Netflix related.
I think YouTube is another 19% on top of that. So yeah, it's like,
yeah. So it's, you know, hey, but even so, there's ample free bandwidth available, because as Matt was referencing, it's getting just insanely cheap to transfer data.
Yes. Why do we need government intervention? Why do we need a law to state that it's?
That's the argument that you get from Silicon Valley types and tech, tech executives, is that it doesn't, there's no rational justification for that. And the only, you know, justification that if you look at the argument, from each side, is there's money making interests there. There's protecting services and that type of thing, because there's really, when you on a net, there's really no need to mandate any type of rate shaping or, priority level for services or that type of thing.
So essentially, Kirk, they're making more money just by creating a fake value add. They actually don't need more money to be able to transport this traffic. They're just saying, we want to make more money, so we're going to increase our prices. Or we're going to charge you to transport your data across our network.
Who's saying that?
Well, Comcast did that in the Netflix situation. When was this last year? Performance started to dip significantly, as far as I noticed. And Matt, you may have seen this as well.
I don't have Comcast.
You might have read articles on Arts Technica or whatever.
Sure. Absolutely.
It started to dip significantly in October, for no real discernible reason, and there was, speculation that it was being done purposefully on the part of Comcast to degrade Netflix services. And there was a battle back and forth, between Netflix and Comcast over the amount of bandwidth that was utilized in the Comcast network by Netflix. And they finally reached an undisclosed agreement where, I think this was probably back in February, where Netflix had to pay a specific amount of cash to make sure that their data wasn't being tagged as a lower priority data packet on their network, which had a lot to do with the fact that that Netflix quality of service had gone down for 5 or 6 months. So it was an artificial
reality. The argument that these companies are constantly putting more money into their infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And a driver of that is because of the popularity of Netflix and YouTube, specifically Netflix.
Kirk, comparatively, the cost of increasing the bandwidth for these networks is so little compared to what they're asking for.
Where's the value? I've never seen a dollar amount that they're asking for. This is all hyperbole. This is all just the fear that's created in this argument.
What fear?
Let the market take care of itself. If people want Netflix that bad and Comcast is screwing Netflix over, then they're going to leave Comcast.
But to go where?
To go to who? That's what this whole argument's about, Kirk.
Yeah, where do you go?
There's other ways of going about it. There always is.
DVDs.
I mean, you can go through a cellular provider.
Oh, yeah. I bet that streaming would be really good.
Yeah, start rate shaping at between 4 and 5 gigabytes per month, and how much does a typical movie on Netflix? It's around 750 megs, 750 to 1 gig. So you're talking about,
that's my point right there. It's using the product of the company. It's using the resources. The cellular is the same thing. So It's how they base. What do you think a phone call takes any resources, and yet they still charge all this massive amount of, for long distance calls? For, you know, back 20 years ago when they'd make all these calls, they just charge the usage rate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just because it's free to send that information in a way, or because the technology enables it, doesn't mean it's. I mean, I don't know. It's to me, it's just frustrating. And to me, that's why I say this is all conspiracy, and it's a made up event. Who's to say that it wasn't done on purpose just to get new regulations as more protectionist law in the long run? You think who has the lobbying authority? Comcast? Check with Tom Wheeler or whoever. That we get the regulations passed, then we get the lobbyists in, and then we can create our control over it that way. It's right. So for these big businesses, it's a win-win.
Right. Yeah.
Just to create this so-called catastrophe of not being able to get your frickin' movie streaming properly. I mean, so if you wanted to watch a movie, you could queue it all and then watch it an hour later instead of having to watch it instantly being streamed. But there's ways to go about it. But we're such a spoiled class of people these days that we just want everything now.
But the thing about it is, Kirk, and what I'd argue is there's no reason why, given the current state of network infrastructure through these companies, why it shouldn't be now, and it always should be now, because there is more than enough capacity. And when you get into artificially managing network services to protect your own on-demand, you know, if we're talking about the context of Comcast versus Netflix, to protect your Comcast on-demand TV services against a free market competitor that arguably has a superior technology to yours by impeding on their service, you know, I personally have an issue with that, and I have an issue with you know, companies like Comcast using their lobbying might through their financial resources to essentially regulate performance and legislate how services can perform on a uniform level. I personally find that in a lot of, you know, civil libertarians, tech libertarians find that to be extremely wrong.
All right, so let me put it this way. If we let it go, let Comcast do this, whatever they're doing to limit Netflix just because they're a competitor and people use Netflix instead of stream through Comcast's cable services through their video rentals and such. If the outrage was able to pan out, people would end up getting outraged that they can only have the service of Comcast in their area and get mad at the whole system of government in the first place that sets it up that way from the get-go. So it goes back to the liberty and instead of the pinpoint, once you have this government regulation and laws, it just all builds. This is what we get. It's a stepping stone, one thing after another, where, no, let's get back to the root cause of this monopolized locality of ISP servers.
And that's what you have, I think, pretty well exemplified in Google Fiber, which is emanating out of Silicon Valley, which is the intellectual thought center for, you know, really all, you know, all things internet, where you have even out there, you can go. Sonic.net is a great, they've been around for a long time, is a great mom and pop ISP based out of San Francisco, where you don't have to go through Verizon or AT&T, you can go through them. You can go through Google Fiber. You can go through mesh networking. Where you have a engaged activist community, you already have that option. But I'd argue the caveat there is that, you know, if you get out of, you know, certain, you know, pockets where you have a, you know, a demographic that swings in that direction, you just don't have an engaged, educated population that, you know, allows for that to happen. So where there is that, what you're talking about, where there is that type of individual in a higher number, that's already taken place.
Yeah, well, how do we know that that Comcast isn't pushing this regulation just so they can stop the Google Fiber somehow through future regulations?
I mean, yeah, who knows?
Because this is they could be a big competitor, you know, coming up the ranks like that. And
well, it's good. It probably will be. Facebook is also working through, you know, wireless technologies. To Google and Facebook are working through network technologies to kind of combat, some of the potential anti-net neutrality management that could be coming down the pike from people like Comcast and AT&T and Verizon and that type of thing. So there is that side, and in the future, probably, specifically just referencing those two companies, they have pretty deep pocketbooks, and they'll provide, I think right now we're in kind of a gap period, but with emerging alternate networking technologies, mesh networking, et cetera, and then, companies that want to make sure their services aren't artificially throttled like Google, Facebook, et cetera, that have, that have had initiatives in place for quite a while. They're, like you're saying, Kirk, in the future, we're talking about now maybe being a bit myopic, but in the future, they're very well, most likely will be good, competing solutions out there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what the future brings, but I don't like the argument of you're either pro government law of net neutrality or you're pro big business of letting them do whatever they want. It's painted you into a corner of either or. When to me, it's neither. It's get the hell out of my way.
I'm a sovereign.
I'm sovereign.
Matt, should we you shot over a clip, Reason TV clip. Should we play that at all?
We can do that. I just wanted to mention, looking at the timeline that we're on, we may actually want to hold off on the Airbnb B-Cycle Lyft Uber.
Yeah, we can do that next week.
All right. Let's hear that clip. This is going to make Kirk very happy.
Okay. Here we go.
I can't wait to hear it.
All right, here we go.
This is the World Wide Web, a giant decentralized network connecting billions of people across the world, the source of much of the world's freest and most innovative content. Shaped and improved by the world's freest and most innovative minds, yet designed and controlled by no single person, company, or government. The internet functions by sending small clusters of information called data packets from one computer to another. This data packet transmission is how you are able to read online newspapers, download songs, or watch online videos. Internet service providers, or ISPs, own the networks of wire and cable through which these packets travel. And for the use of these travel ways, the companies that own them charge users a fee, usually a flat monthly fee. In some places, like China and Pakistan, the government puts up blocks along these travel ways, because some of the packets have information that officials don't want people to see. But in the US, this interconnected system has stayed very open and free, because the government has stayed hands-off and the companies have incentive to cooperate with each other, so that each of their networks keeps the data flowing as quickly and smoothly as possible. But now, that freedom we enjoy in the US is threatened, thanks to the efforts of the Federal Communications Commission to impose so-called net neutrality rules. Net neutrality advocates claim that without their rules, ISPs will impede access to content provided by companies they don't like or view as competition. Net neutrality would correct this situation by forcing ISPs to be neutral by offering equal accessibility to all online content. But the problem is, this nightmare scenario net neutrality advocates posit has never actually happened. If AT&T DSL blocked your access to Google because they wanted you to use Yahoo, what would you do? Probably cancel your plan and go to a provider that gives you easy access to your favorite sites. Neutrality is what most customers want, which is exactly why ISPs have stayed neutral without a single government regulation telling them to do so. Net neutrality types also worry that companies will charge some users for the amount of data they use, instead of a flat monthly fee. Some companies might do this, but it could actually result in cheaper prices for those users who don't download several feature-length movies a day or run a video hosting website. After all, someone has to pay for the increased use of bandwidth. Just like someone has to pay for the increased electricity used by the mansion down the street, or by the local mall. Yet we pay for our electricity use as individuals or households, not by subsidizing the use of everyone in the country. And for those customers who do want a flat monthly fee, competing companies will likely recognize that desire and offer services to meet it. The same way many of these same companies offer varied cell phone plans customized to the user, not designed as a one-size-fits-all standard by the government. But the larger point is, nobody predicted how the internet would evolve. Who knows what the internet could look like in 5, 10 years if it's left free to continue evolving? Allowing service providers to continue innovating freely can only improve the level of service. While clumsy FCC regulation, yes, the same FCC that levies massive fines for nipple slips and fleeting expletives on live TV, will only stunt the internet's development. Not to mention, it will give the U.S. government and its many, many lobbyists unprecedented power over the freest medium of expression still existing in the world. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Here's what I'd argue, too. Say you got a steel mill and you're bringing in taconite. And you got two local companies that supply the taconite, yet the steel mill only utilizes one because they like that company or they're friends of each other or something. But the other company's like, well, I'm charging the same rate. I'm giving the same quality, the same quantities for the same rate. So are we going to come in with the government's mandate that, oh, you got to purchase from both people because it's the same rate. They're both available. You should utilize it. To me, it's government intervention that's trying to make things fair, and it never makes it fair. It only creates problems that lead to unintended consequences. And yeah, it's exactly like the clip said. We can't imagine what the internet's going to be in a decade from now, and you got to leave it to its own devices. Speechless.
No, while I agree with the premise and everything that he's said, the argument is incomplete because it assumes that those companies, in their own self-interest, are going to continue to provide services just based on. I'm sorry, Eric, I'm kind of getting a little bit of an echo.
Yeah, the Comcast is on to us.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think I dropped for a little bit, and let's hold real quick. I'm gonna see if I can't clean this up through line in. Hold on, give me 5 seconds.
Thank you. Yeah.
Haven't you been getting reverb the whole night?
You better, man. Better now.
Oh, it's just it's way better. It was just getting worse right there, and I was like, okay, I can't even keep my thoughts straight right now.
Yeah, we've got different pieces in place that sometimes degrade.
Sure.
And are good, but continue.
Yeah,
we're good to go again?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, so essentially what I'm saying is I don't believe that those companies are necessarily going to act in the best interest of everybody by remaining neutral because they've found a new revenue source. I think they're going to exploit that. What? No, I'm not going to have a little faith in that because I've already seen what's happened with wireless. Mm-hmm. Wireless has had very, very similar issues where they're finding that they can charge more for minutes. And remember in the 90s how much it cost to have like an overage charge of like 100 minutes? It'd be like, you know, hundreds of dollars for that, when in reality it wasn't costing them hardly anything in order to levy that extra service.
Or that's text just messaging. Their business plan, though. I mean,
or text messaging.
Or text messaging, yeah, exactly.
Because all text messaging, all an SMS message does is throw data over a cell tower heartbeat packet that basically is a packet that flows back and forth between a cell tower and your cell phone to let it know that you're still there. So there's no added expense on the part of the telephone company for an individual to send an SMS message. But yet, you know, what do you pay for SMS between 10 and 20 bucks a month, which is all, you know, complete margin?
Why have patents and copyright law? Why do we have intellectual property that you can charge money for? I mean, it's if someone, you print a book, you can just go copy in a copy machine and have it for free then. Or, you know, for the cost of the paper instead of the actual thought process put into it. It's... Who's to say that what's right or wrong? I mean, that's how the business is set up. And if a free market was there, that demand, that problem would be solved.
You know what, though? The problem is people don't understand this. The general population doesn't understand what's happening. They just see a raise in their prices and they say, whatever, I'll deal with it. And they just pay more for it. Instead of educating themselves and understanding that there is a real problem, that there should be something done about it as far as switching to a different service.
Well, all you can do is focus on yourself. And
or I can have a podcast and advocate.
I give people a lot more credit than that, but it's we live in a busy life, that we live in a day-to-day life that's all-consuming. We can hardly get enough sleep every night because we live such busy lives that it's there's just because you can point your fingers for this one topic. I mean, everyone can throw something right back at you that you don't educate yourself on other things as well either. But we shouldn't talk that way. It's you know, especially from a liberty group, we need to have faith in the free market, faith in companies. Companies can always become devious if they want it for certain profit motives, but it's short-lived. It's as soon as a profit gets over like a 20%, that's when competition moves in.
But they don't have the ability to move in right now.
Yeah,
so we've been
a monopoly or a duopoly. You don't have the ability.
So that is the root cause of the problem then. It's not the...
Well, yeah, and we agree with that. But right now, so you want to start a fight with all the local municipalities about...
Yeah, I do. I think we need to get back to liberty. That's exactly the fight I want to pick.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that at all.
And I mean, but that's... So that's... I just it should be talked in a liberty sense, not this. That's why I said we're pinned into a pro or con net neutrality. It's either you're supposedly this conservative, all business can do what they want, their own property, or else we need government intervention. You know, the more Democrat view in the matter, but. It's neither. It's the liberty mindset. That's the liberty aspect, that it should be getting gotten out of the way. And just how we were that clip said that if the internet was left to its own feasibles, how it'll look, no one could have predicted 10 years ago what it would look like today. If the regulation wasn't in place, who knows what the businesses would be in place today that exist, that started decades ago. If not years, decades, centuries ago, and how the government's run, that we're limited from government into the kind of businesses we have today, and thus our culture is limited to it, and it's the capabilities at our fingertips these days. We have such possibilities and such creative force at our hands, and it's not happening because of government intervention, and this mindset of defeatism in people's minds, and it's depressing.
Maybe for you. For me, it's not. because nothing's really, I mean, it's net neutrality is still there. So, I mean, you have, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be there regardless, because that's how it should be. And that's why I say these companies, for the most part, do good. That, yeah, they're trying to, because of the how shitty our economy is, they're trying to penny pinch and trying to squeeze out more profits for their stocks, shareholders. And it's so they're going to find new ways no matter what. If they got a muscle into Netflix to do it when they're the biggest resource hog of their company, I say go for it. I don't care. Yeah, screw Netflix.
I disagree. I disagree, you know, with allowing, you know, Comcast to artificially manipulate services when there is no there are no resource issues, and they're protecting their own services. And when you talk, I've heard the talk about the economy being in rough shape, but if you look at corporate America over the last 5 years, it's not. In Comcast, their revenues have grown substantially. A lot of business interests are now in as good a shape as they've ever been in. And that's a whole nother conversation. There is a social stratification that's occurring faster than it's probably ever occurred before. But there are, the well-positioned, educated business interests are doing better than they ever have. And then there's everybody else.
We're paying the bill. We're paying. I hardly ever stream Netflix anymore. Yet I pay a rate because of everyone else streaming Netflix all the time.
And why don't you just switch to another carrier that doesn't charge you as much?
You're in Chaska. Why don't you get Chaska Wireless down there, Kirk?
Oh, yeah, it'd be perfect for you.
I can watch a second at every minute. I'm happy with Comcast. They're by far the best internet ISP that I've ever had. They're far better than Quest, far better than MediaCom.
I was not. I have to say, I was not happy with them when Netflix sucked, and when there was artificial rate shaping over their services, and there was nothing.
I could say. There you go, Eric. What are you doing watching a movie or a TV? You should be sitting there reading a book instead.
I read more than enough. Yeah.
The stuff I read's on the internet, so I really I probably read 50 pages a day, but I don't never pick up a book.
Yeah.
Here's what happens when you become big like Netflix. You get muscled. They're a big corporation, and they utilize other businesses. These other, just like Walmart does. They go in there. They know that if you're going to supply Walmart with their supplies, they're going to come and look at your business and analyze it down to the penny to make sure your profit levels aren't exceeding what they want you to be at. Otherwise, they'll go find someone else. It's no different than anywhere out there in any business. Once you deal with a certain level of competency, of usability, of users that at your fingertips, that and you have it wouldn't matter what it's because Netflix is 50% during peak hours when you get home. That's a heavy bandwidth usage rate.
There's a lot of excess bandwidth available too, so they're not strangling performance by any stretch. Yeah, so kind of what I've, you know, maybe you guys see it differently, what I've picked up from the conversation, we've talked about, you know, kind of some of the local barriers behind good service, or, you know, service that you'd expect, and then artificial, barriers at the Comcast or AT&T or tier one provider perspective, so the highest, you know, transport as far as internet connectivity is concerned. And to me, think about what we talked about, you know, maybe maybe there is going to be an FCC ruling mandating certain service priorities for, you know, different things like, you know, emergency services, telemedicine, et cetera. But there are enough options that are on the horizon. So, you know, things like Google Fiber, Facebook networking, mesh networking, ad hoc networking that, you know, in the future, there's going to be options. And, you know, maybe, you know, the idea that net neutrality is in peril, it might not be, you know, that significant. Or maybe it will be. But in my mind, probably, you know, in 5 years, if we're to talk about net neutrality or lack thereof, we'll probably still have a pretty vibrant, open internet architecture. That's kind of the way I see it.
Well, here's something I always ponder, is how the hell did the Federal Reserve ever get created? And to me, it's the same kind of talking like we're having today about net neutrality, that, you know, banks exist and money was flowing, but, you know, there are these, you know, bank robberies. We need the insurance.
Hang on. We're not
control the money supply a little. No, I don't want to go down that road. I just want to give an example of the mindset people were in that allowed the Federal Reserve to be created in the first place. And to me, this is the exact same thing. That there didn't need to be a Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
But people and banks, and they contrived the public into thinking that they needed it.
Well, fair enough.
To be equal.
I think we and all agree.
Look at the havoc that has caused. And the only free media today is the internet, and we want government intervention? Oh, hell no. This is the turning point of 100 years from now. They're going to be looking back today just like we're looking back at the Federal Reserve. Like, what the hell were you guys thinking? Letting the government get in there and making things fair.
So what you're saying, Kirk, when it comes time for your podcaster exam, you're probably not going to get a license?
Hell no.
No.
I'll go underground.
Yeah. But I mean, in all seriousness, do you guys think that, you know, that this threat to net neutrality is going to, you know, it's going to become a real thing, or do you think it's something that's being discussed, but, you know, probably, you know, won't actually be enacted?
I really fear it being enacted. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all smoke and mirrors, but.
What do you think, Matt?
I think both sides have very good points, and I am not really sure where I fall on it. I think that is bullshit that we have net neutrality even in discussion, because it shouldn't be possible that we'd be in a situation where one company can cause that much of an impact on the network bandwidth that I have coming to my house. But it's there, it's reality, and we've got a serious conversation, and obviously there's a lot of opinions that fall on both sides, so. It's about where I'm at.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. There's certainly, if it does become a reality, I can certainly see, you know, solutions for individuals who don't necessarily agree with, you know, essentially mandated managed network services being, you know, legislated. So there could, things could change in the future. But then again, maybe nothing will happen. Who knows? Are we ready to wrap up?
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. This has been Liberty Southwest podcast number 22. It's been Eric Taylor, Kirk Pettis, and Matt Winter. Thanks a lot.
Good night.